All right, this morning we invite you back to the book of Romans chapter 11. The book of Romans chapter 11. We're going to begin reading with verse number 33 and we'll be reading to the end of the chapter. Romans chapter 11, beginning with verse 33 and reading to the end of the chapter. The Apostle Paul writes, "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has been his counselor? Or who has first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? For of him, and through him, and to him are all things. To whom be glory forever. Amen." May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of these verses. This morning we come to the closing verses of our study here in Romans chapters 9 through 11. And as one considers that of the verses which are before us, there are several ways in which the various scholars consider these verses. Some consider these verses as the conclusion to that of the doctrinal section of the book of Romans, chapters 1 through 11. And then there are those who believe that these verses are merely a conclusion to that of the section that we've been studying here, which is Romans chapters 9 through 11. The question that we might ask at this point as we would consider these verses and whether or not they are the conclusion to the doctrinal section or whether or not they are the conclusion to merely that of chapters 11 or chapters 9 through 11 is simply this question. What brought about these words? What caused that of the Apostle Paul to pen these words? Well, you would say, well, it was the Spirit of God that moved him to write them, and that would be absolutely true. And yet, we also know, beloved, that even in inspiration that God he did use that of human means to write that of his word. And so we see here Paul, he is writing down these words, and they are words truly of praise unto God. Was it Paul's response to the wisdom of God in arranging salvation history to maximize his glory by dispensing mercy at the appointed time to Jews and Gentiles? Or was the whole plan of redemption which the Apostle Paul sets forth here in chapters 1 through 11? The verses most likely are the conclusion to that of chapters 9 through 11. Focusing in on that of the character and the structure of these verses, these verses are a doxology. A doxology is a hymn or words of praise unto God. And as we consider these verses, they are God-centered. As you read down through them, he says, "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has been his counselor? Or who has first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen." And so the mere reading of these and the emphasis being upon that of the nouns and the pronouns, we can see very clearly that these verses have God as the center of them. As one examines these verses, the structure of them, praise and adoration is offered up as that which is deep. Deep with regards to that of the greatness of God. You know, Paul writes, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. And so immediately as we begin these verses, we see that Paul here, as he contemplates God, he sees that of His greatness. And that is the thought that he expresses in these verses. The greatness of God. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. Then two exclamations emerge. How unsearchable are his judgments? There's the first one. And his ways past finding out. There's the second one. And then as we come on down in verses 34 and 35, we have three questions which are spoken. Which underline that of the unsearchable greatness of God. Who has known the mind of the Lord? Who has been His counselor? Who has first given to Him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? And then lastly, we have the greatness of God given with three prepositional phrases in verse 36. And His glory is acclaimed. For of Him, and through Him, and to Him are all things. To whom be glory forever. Amen. I've entitled our message this morning, Let Us Praise and Adore Him. Let us praise and adore Him. First of all, I would have us consider the greatness of God's wisdom and knowledge, which Paul proclaims and declares here in verse number 33. He says, Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. In these words, Paul here expresses that of wonder. He expresses that of amazement. He expresses that of awe as he contemplates the wisdom and the knowledge of God. We've all had the experience of standing in awe, wonder, as we would behold some sight, so to speak, some amazing sight. We would look at it and we'd say, Oh, look at that. Look at that scene, or look at what is taking place. And the idea there in us making that exclamation is that we're expressing that of our awe, that of our wonder, at that of what we're seeing. And this is exactly what the Apostle Paul here is doing. He is expressing that of awe, that of wonder, as he beholds that of God's greatness, that of His riches in respect to His wisdom and knowledge. He says, Oh, the depth, or that of the exceeding greatness of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. The wisdom of God. Paul, in writing to the Corinthians, wrote, But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. In that same chapter and in verse 30, he writes, But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and wisdom. Here in these verses, Paul, as he speaks of the wisdom of God, he points us to Christ. In Colossians, Paul writes, In whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Again, pointing us to Christ. that it's in Christ that all the treasures of wisdom and of knowledge, that it's there that these things are found. Paul writes of the wisdom of God as to the great mystery in Ephesians chapter 3. Of God redeeming, saving Jews and Gentiles and bringing them together into one body. The knowledge of God. The knowledge of God hid in Christ. Now all these things are true. As we think of how the Apostle Paul here is using the words wisdom and knowledge in our text, I believe that we must keep focused the context that we find ourselves in. And the context is the Apostle Paul having in chapters 9, 10, and 11 set before us God's eternal purpose in the salvation of both Jew and Gentile. And it's in light of this context that Paul expresses himself in these words. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. Now, in light of this context, and in light of Paul expressing himself in these words, what does he mean? What does he mean when he speaks of the wisdom and the knowledge of God? Why does he stand in wonder? Why does he stand in awe with regards to this? I believe it's simply this. As one contemplates God's plan of salvation, that God's great plan of salvation, who would have conceived it? Who would have conceived it other than God? Who would have conceived of God sending His only begotten Son into the world and for Him to die in the behalf of sinners? What man would have conceived of this ideal? What man would have conceived of the ideal of through the disobedience of Israel that God would bring salvation to the Gentiles who were in darkness? Who would have conceived of God through that of mercy having been shown to that of the Gentiles, that through this salvation would come to the Israelites? That God would bestow His blessings upon the Jewish people. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How amazing! How that we ought to stand in wonder and awe of it. And then we have the two exclamations then at the end of verse 33. He says, how unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. As Paul contemplates the wisdom and the knowledge of God, the depth, the richness of them, he exclaims, how unsearchable are His judgments, His ways past finding out. His judgments. What is Paul referring to here? We normally think of judgment. We think of judgment in the sense of God judging and bringing judgment upon people, don't we? But the word can also be used in another way, and it has to do with that of decisions that would be made. And I believe as we contemplate what the Apostle Paul here is speaking of, I believe that this is exactly what Paul is referring to. That of God's decisions. That of God's doings. And purposing and bringing to pass His saving plan for Jews and Gentiles. His decisions are unsearchable. They are marked by being impossible to find or discover the depths and ends of them. I was reminded of a passage in Isaiah as I contemplated upon these verses, where we read that God's thoughts are not our thoughts. God's thoughts are not our thoughts. And in that same verse, the Apostle Paul goes on this, or Isaiah goes on to proclaim, neither are His ways our ways. His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than that of our thoughts. And this is exactly what the Apostle Paul, only here in the New Testament, says before us. When he says, how unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. As we contemplate the world in which we're living in, and all the various things that are going on, the wicked deeds that are being done, and yet, beloved, God's purpose, His purpose is coming to pass. The decisions of God are being executed. And not one of them are being missed or frustrated. God's will, His purpose, is being brought to pass. His ways are past finding out. They are truly incomprehensible. His ways are not that of our ways. As we look over in the Middle East, Israel, Iraq, Iran, various other nations over there, and the conflicts, the near conflicts that are about to happen, it would seem like our world in which we live in is out of control. As we're thinking of that of our own land, the things that are going on. Yet, beloved, God is still upon His throne. And nothing is taking Him by surprise. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Who has been His counselor? Who has first given to Him, and it shall be recompensed unto Him again? Undoubtedly, these verses that we have here in the form of questions, undoubtedly, they are written down by the Apostle Paul in light of verses in the Old Testament Scriptures. Isaiah 40, for instance. Who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been His counselor? Who has first given to Him, and it shall be recompensed unto Him again. Think of Job and that of his questioning God. And then at the very end, God questioning him. But let's consider these questions that the Apostle Paul sets before us here. The first one, who has known the mind of the Lord? Is there anyone amongst us? Is there anyone amongst us who have known the thoughts, the reasonings of the Lord? And that of salvation's plan? Have we entered in, any of us entered into that of those things? You note that Paul's next question is, who has been his counselor? Is there anyone who has counseled the Lord? Has the Lord sought a counselor? Did he seek a counselor when he made that of his plan to save rebellious man? Did he ask man his opinion? Did he ask the angels? Who has first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? Has anyone given anything to God? Has anyone given God anything and made him their debtor? Absolutely not. And beloved, that point needs to be emphasized here at this point. God is not a debtor to any of us. And this is what the Apostle Paul is bringing this to a head to. For you see, God did not have to save any of us. God didn't have to show grace to any of Adam's race. Who has first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again. Everything that we have has been given to us. And if we've given anything back to God, it's what He has given to us. First. We came into this world with nothing. Absolutely nothing. In verse 36, the Apostle Paul writes, "For of Him, and through Him, and to Him, are all things." Here in this statement, the Apostle Paul tells us that the cause and the source of all things is God. For of Him, that is God, and through Him, God, and to Him are all things. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And he said, let there be light, and there was light. In the beginning, God created the animals. The sea. The land. The universe. And all of the stars. In the beginning, God created man. From the dust of the earth. And breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. And as we contemplate the purpose of God, the eternal purpose of God, his saving plan of man, the source the cause and the source God to whom be glory forever. God created the universe, the stars, the earth, the land and the sea, the mountains, the animals, and man. And beloved, his purpose for his glory. And beloved, the salvation of man, God's purpose in the salvation of a people for himself, for his glory. For his glory. Paul writes, to whom be glory forever. Amen. I close by asking you this question this morning. Do you stand in awe? Do you stand in wonderment? As you think of what God has done. Not only what God has done, but what he's doing. As I said last week, it may seem like God's not doing anything. Is God doing anything? Yes, he is. God is alive. He's on his throne. And beloved, everything is coming to pass. And the ultimate being for his glory. What is your focus on? What are your eyes focused on? Is it that of the things of this world? Or is it that of God and the wonder and the mystery of him? May God give us grace to see him for who he is, and let us praise and adore him. the Lord, there's mercy with the Lord. Whoever comes, as Abel of old did, through that of the blood, not the blood of bulls and goats, but the blood of Jesus. They come to know the free pardon of sin and the hope of eternal glory. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And it's only by His grace that we'll ever bring glory to Him. Let us stand. Let's turn to hymn number 56. Hymn number 56.
To God be the glory, great things He hath done. So loved He the world that He gave us His Son, who yielded His life and atonement for sin. Bless us.